I've enjoyed the presence of the Lord. I share with you just a little bit. You have a couple in this church with their children that I love very much, and that's David and Paula Carroll, and their two children. When they first got married, they came to Greenwood, South Carolina. And they visited our church one Sunday, and they hadn't been married very long, and I made the mistake of going to visit them the next week. Like I say, they hadn't been married very long, a week or so. You just don't visit a young couple like that. But anyhow, I didn't stay long. I recognized that it's time to leave, and so they came back to the church and began to come to the church, and I got to know David and Paula Carroll. Very special people. David came to our Bible Institute, graduated. I had the privilege to teach him those years. And what a blessing he was. He's one of the first men that I ordained as a deacon in our church. Paula was a school teacher. And she came later on and taught in a Christian school. She's an excellent teacher. I had Barry down to preach for me after he'd left the church there at Liberty. Came down and preached one Wednesday night, and David and Paula heard him for the first time. And I think Paula called her dad and said, "Dad, I want you to get that preacher up there to preach it. You were without a pastor at that time, and get him to come and preach." Well, he came, and he's been here ever since. So I have a little bit of input in the Rogersville Baptist Temple. By Barry being here, contact was made down in Greenwood with David and Paula. And I'm glad what the Lord's done. He's been so good. Everybody's talked about their salvation. I have to share just a little bit about mine. 12-year-old boy, lost and undone. My dad was a preacher. I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. An old-time mountain preacher. Lost as I could be at 12 years old. My dad was starting a tent meeting over in the Cove Creek community. They're going to have a tent meeting to try to win the men of the community to the Lord. And I went along with Dad to help set up the tent. Really, just to stay out of the way is about all I could do. But after they got that tent set up and all the shavings up and down the aisles, the men of that community said, "We need to pray over this meeting." And we went down into the pine thicket down behind where the tent was set up. That group of men, my dad, I'd never done any praying, and got down that pine thicket, and they had knelt all around through that pine thicket praying and calling upon the Lord and praying over their neighbors and their friends to get saved. Well, I was kneeling there, but the first time in my life, God the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart. Down the pine thicket. Got a conviction, old time conviction. God dealt with me. I didn't get saved then, but I couldn't get away from it. The next week, the meeting went on. A lot of folk were being saved, but I still didn't get saved. It's on Friday of the next week. Mom stayed and kept the little old store open. It was the end of the month. My dad was bivocational. The mountain preachers in those days didn't make any money. And they had to have something to make a living for their family. They had a little country grocery store that he ran on the side. And I stayed and to help my mom with keeping the store open on that Friday evening. You see, a lot of the people that did business with my dad with old mountain people that lived back in those rural areas, and they'd walk in to get their groceries and they'd get their welfare check or whatever, and if you missed that Friday night, well, then it was bad business, I'm telling you. So I stayed with my mom. After she closed the store, we walked up the mountain. Barry knows what I'm talking about, to L.G. Dotson. He lives there. It's where I lived. It's where I was born. She went into the kitchen and started a fire in the wood stove and going to cook she and I a bite to eat. I sat down in the living room, and when I sat down, she came out of the kitchen and And when she looked down at me and I looked up, I said, "Mama, I want to." Couldn't even get it out what I wanted to do. I was under conviction so much. She said, "Son, what's wrong with you?" And still couldn't say nothing. She said, "Son, you want to get saved? That what do you want to do?" I said, "Yeah, Mama, I want to get saved." So we read some scripture and we got down to pray in the living room. First time in my life, I called upon the Lord earnestly and asked Him to save me. You say, what happened? He saved me right then and there. Holy Ghost picked me up out from under my mama's arm, and from here we went through the living room running and leaping and shouting and praising the Lord. Nobody wasn't putting on no show. Wasn't nobody there but me and Mama. She said, "Son, did you get saved?" I said, "Yeah, Mama, I got saved." And guess what? Here we went again through the living room running and leaping and shouting and praising the Lord. 12-year-old boy. Hey, God's real. I got saved. How special that is to know you're saved. You better make sure you're saved. So important. Well, I appreciate the Lord and His salvation. Later on, the Lord called me into ministry to be a preacher. And I've been preaching now for about 42, 43 years, I guess. Appreciate the church at Calvary. The Lord sent me there, and I'm not going into detail, meeting in an old house. Had 15, including my five, the first Sunday. No property, no building, no nothing. I didn't go on deputation 2 years to get support. Rolled up my sleeves and went to work and stayed where God put me. He's given us a good building, good people. Right now the church supports about 98 missionaries around the world. You support some of them out of this church. We have five out of our own church on the mission field. Seem like half my congregation's preachers now. I got 7 preachers in the church right now. I need prayer, Barry. Amen. But the Lord's good, and I thank Him for letting me be here today. Appreciate my precious wife. We've been married for 45 years. We'll be 46 this coming January. I took her home from church one Sunday night, and I've been taking her home ever since. I like that. 3 children. I could tell you a whole lot of things about Barry around that, but I'll leave it alone. He literally took all the time, so I couldn't tell anything about him in those days. I figured that. But love Barry. I got to share this, and then I'll preach. My dad, as I told you, is an old-time mountain preacher. Got saved in 1918 in Tryon, North Carolina. Already he's 18 years old. He was a drunk. Already a gambler. But he got saved on the mill hill in a little house, in a little revival. He got saved. Later on, God called him to preach. And he's just an old mountain preacher that God loved and God used. Many, many people were saved under his ministry. Well, my dad always prayed. He said, "Lord," he said, "if it could be your will, let the mantle fall on, Lord, one of my sons to be a preacher." Now that'll take you to the days of Elijah. And of course, the mantle of to be a prophet was upon him. And you remember he put that mantle on Elisha. And he said, "Lord, if you could let the mantle that you put on me fall on one of my sons, I sure would like that." Well, my brother Kurt was a preacher, a pastor. Had a ministry gift from the Lord. And he was a preacher. He had a good hand of the Lord on him. And my dad rejoiced. "I got a son now that's a preacher." I never wanted to be a preacher. Never intended to be a preacher. But we had revival and it got straight with the Lord. And And when got straight with the Lord, here come that call of God. And the mantle fell on me to be a preacher. My dad rejoiced about that. Had two sons now preaching. But you know, the Lord didn't stop there. The mantle fell on Barry. And then the mantle fell on Ricky. And then the mantle fell on Stanley. Three grandsons preaching. And already there's been two great grandsons that said they were called to preach. God did that.
Hallelujah.
I praise Him and thank Him for that. Could be up in heaven today. There's a great cloud of witnesses, and who knows, could be looking on in this service. There we praise Him and thank Him just for the privilege to be here. Open your Bible and the book of Luke in chapter 15. Read a verse of Scripture. And I could ramble on with good things that the Lord's done. And the Lord has been so good. And I praise Him and thank Him for that. Luke 15, and look at verse number 20. Talked about the prodigal son. He arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I guess if I had a subject, it'd be this: coming home on homecoming. Story of the prodigal son. Father, thank You for Your presence in the service today, the good singing, the good testimonies, the time of prayer, the time of fellowship already. We love You and thank You for what You've already done. Lord, I simply want Your will to be done.
Yes.
Not my will, but Thine be done. I'm unworthy to be here, undeserving of the least of Your favors. Nothing could I have ever done to merit anything from You. And Lord, even today it's the same way. If You choose to bless and lift me above and beyond myself, into the realm that only You can bring, it'll be grace and mercy on Your part. It won't be me. And I'm asking for help today. Lord, I pray You'll allow me to say what needs to be said and be exactly what I need to be. Pray You'll reach out with Your great power and You'll grasp the hearts and minds and of this people and give them ability to listen. Give me ability to preach. And may Your will be done. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The story here in Luke 15 of the prodigal son is one of the best loved and most moving stories I believe that there is in the Bible. Every preacher at one time or another has preached, no doubt, on this story. The story actually begins in verse number 11. In verse number 11, it tells us about a man that had two sons, a father that had two sons. And this no doubt was a good father. He loved his sons. And these two sons, then one of these sons, the younger of these two sons, he didn't like the rules of the house, no doubt. You know, if you're a father, you've got certain rules that you have in your household that are designed in love in the best interest of your children. And I believe, no doubt, this father loved his two sons. And he had good rules. But this youngest son didn't like the rules at all. And he began to look at the far country and want to be free from all the restraint whatsoever. Wanted no strings attached. And if you heard the story, then you remember he said one day to his father, he said, "Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me." And the father no doubt resisted that for a while. But then finally, after constant pushing and talking to his father, the father said, "All right, I'm going to do that." Now, I understand the youngest son got a third, the oldest son got two-thirds. And so, this youngest son got a third of the father's goods that normally would have come to him. And I can see him as he put it into ready cash, and he had his plans all made, and he's going to leave home. And he was going to go his way. He's going to get out from under all the strings and restrictions of the home and just going to go do his thing in life. Here he is. And so he gets everything together
and he gets ready and he makes his move and he moves out of the house. You know, when I read this story, I want to say to this young man from my heart, don't go. Oh, don't leave home. I want to say to him not to leave home. And he left home anyhow. And I see him as he goes into the far country. I want to tell him, don't go in the far country. And I see him as he goes there and he wastes his substance. And with riotous living, wine, women, song, I want to tell him, don't waste your life. Don't give your life away. I want to encourage him along that line. But I've seen so many that's gone that way. And they've wasted their life. They've wasted their substance. And now they wind up in a heap of trouble. Could be in this building today there's a young man or a young lady and you've been thinking about going the wrong direction in life. I want to tell you, you better not. You better stay around the house. You better stay with Dad. You better stay with Mom and listen to what they've got to say. Not only young men, but I know of young ladies also that have done the same thing. Well, may some of you, like this young man, you maybe have taken your spiritual heritage and you've wasted it. This young man, he wasted everything. I've known some that waste their character, spent all their character. It's all gone now. No character left. And they spent all their health out there with wine, women, song, drugs, and alcohol. And boy, what a mess they've got their life in. I've seen that. And you've seen that. They just don't have any hope left. There's a lot of pitiful situations out there. My wife goes once a week to what's called Faith Home. It's a home for alcoholics and drug abuse women. And she goes there for a devotion every Tuesday morning. And she gets there around 8 o'clock and has a devotion. And there's usually about 15 to 18 women there. And you'd be surprised at the story. Some good looking, I'm talking about good looking young lady. Beautiful young ladies, but they're now on crack cocaine. They're on marijuana. They're on all kinds of drugs and alcohol. And they've given themselves off. My, their life is all wrecked and ruined. I go sometime to the Faith Home on the other side of town. It's a men's facility. And there's 65, 70 men out there most of the time. And I'm able to go there and preach to them. And I see young men there, young boys there. I'm talking about 18, 25 and on up. I see them, they're there. Their life is wrecked and ruined in drugs and alcohol. And it seems like they've got no, some of them even gotten married. And boy, they've got children. And boy, they're in such a pitiful shape. Someone said sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Here he is. He goes. Wasted his substance. Righteous living. And the scripture said he spent all. I'm going to tell you, you can spend all. If you're not careful in this world, you can spend all. I'm thinking right now of two young ladies I know. I'm thinking of two young ladies that grew up in a Christian home. Both of them did. Godly and clean home. Precious home. But they decided they'd go their way, do their thing. They went into alcohol and drugs. Premarital sex. I'm thinking two of them got pregnant. I'm thinking two young ladies got pregnant, broke their dad and mom's heart, and bring a child into this world without the benefit of a home. Sad, sad situation. Hard. Well, here he is now, this young man. I see him. He's at the pig pen. He don't have anything now. The young ladies that he wasted his substance with, the harlot, he doesn't have any more money. Doesn't have any food to eat. He doesn't have any friends. What happened? He joined himself to a citizen of that country. And so many times I've seen a young man join himself to some drug agent. Having nothing. Finally wind up in prison.
life wrecked, ruined. Here he is. Nothing.
That citizen took him to feed the swine.
How many times I've seen a young boy, 16 up to 20 years old, get connected in the drug traffic and become a drug pusher. Wind up in jail, wind up in prison. Sad, sad situation.
I want you to look at verse number 20. Look at this prodigal in verse number 20. He said he arose. Now he's been in the far country. He has, in verse number 20, arose and came to his father. Here he is. Notice this prodigal. He's got the far country, and the Bible said here that he came to himself in verse 17. He said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." He began to think. There may be someone here, and you've been going the wrong direction, but just recently you begin to think about your life. You don't want to go that way any longer. You begin to think like the prodigal did. Here he is the pig pen. Here he is in all kind of trouble. He has nothing. He would have fain filled his belly with a husk. The swine did eat. No man gave to him. And he began to think about what he'd left. Maybe you've been thinking about where you are and where you need to get back to. Here he is. So here he is. The Bible said he was a great way off. Could it be, I'm speaking to someone in this building, you're in this church, but yet you're a great way off from the things of the Lord and from your family. A great way off. Can I tell you, the promise of God is to all that are far off. Acts 2:39. And then Ephesians 2:13 and verse 17, it said, "Ye who sometimes were far off, you can be made nigh." I like that. You can be made nigh by the blood. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you, the Scripture said. I like that. He'll do that. You know, here he is. He's a way off. He's lacking in strength. He's weak as he can be. I want to tell you, he can give strength to you and help to you. If you're willing to let him, he'll give you strength to overcome sin. He'll give you strength to overcome habits. He'll give you strength to do right. He was weak there at the pig pen. Here he is, it's a long journey. He'd had no food, had nothing. Maybe you feel weak. Well, he gives strength to the faint-hearted. Give you another thought here. He's lacking in courage. He'd rebel when he'd left. He'd done his own thing, gone his own way. But here he is. He left a state of arrogancy. You know, look at me, I'm my own. I'm my own man. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go, and I'll be what I want to be. No strings attached. That may sound good, but you're headed the wrong direction if that's your attitude. So he left in rebellion, arrogancy, never planned to go back. He never planned to face his father again. I'm just wondering about you. You lack courage maybe to get back? God will help you.
Yes, sir.
Notice how he prepares himself. He thought of the former days, father's house, father's servant, father's provision. He saw himself perishing in hunger. There he is. He began to prepare himself, verse 17, 18, and 19. And then he plans for a future day. He said, "I'll arise and go to my father."
Yes.
He thought, "I will arise and I will go to my father." He made plans. I ask you, do you have any plans to get right with God? Do you have any plans to get straight and let your life count for the Lord? Do you have any plans to get back?
That's good, brother. Amen.
Plans. So important. He said plans for the future days. He said, "I'll rise and go to my father." And then he said, "I'll say I've sinned and no more worthy to be called your son." And then he said, "I will petition. Make me as one of the hired servants." He was willing to do anything to get back where he ought to be. Move on. So he used his will. He used his feet. He went to where he ought to go. Now look at the father. I like this. We've talked about the prodigal. But you know, I got a father's heart. You dad's got a father's heart.
Love my children. Just don't mess with my children. Don't mess with them. Or you'll see a side of me that you've never seen before. Just don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with my kids. And something else. Don't mess with my grandkids. Here's the father. The story thus far has been occupied with the prodigal. Now it gives us insight to the heart of the father. What's the father thinking about after the son taken off and taken and gone to the far country? You think the father, he'd been thinking about the son. No doubt he's concerned about the son. He's hoping one day he's going to come back. I think he gets bits of information here and there about the whereabouts of the son in the far country. But this father, he's concerned. The Bible says here when this prodigal, he's on his way back now when he was a great way off. The father is observing and looking.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Can I tell you something today? You in this building, are you listening to me? There may be a young lady here, you're a long way off. There may be a young man here, you're a long way off. Can I tell you something? Heavenly Father's looking and observing. He's looking over this congregation. He's observing you. The Bible said this young man, he's journeying back now in his mind and heart, but when he was a great way off, the Father began to look. I like that. Began to observe. And I believe when he got that little glimpse way out there, he saw and recognized who it was. No doubt the way that young man walked.
Yes, sir.
He knew, that's my son.
Say,
how do you know? Oh, listen, Barry, you know, I can see Matt walking a half a mile away and I can tell you it's Matt because just the way he walks. Oh, I know who he is. He saw him a long way off. And I believe there's someone in this building today. God's looking at you. You're a long way off. You're a far off. God's observing you. I like that. A long ways off. And finally, the father made up his mind it was the son. What did he do? He didn't stay at the father's house and said, here comes my low-down son. Here he comes back. I knew he'd come back. Oh, no, but like a father would. He runs, boy, here he goes out of the house. And he runs to where his son died. He fell on his neck and kissed him. I like that. Oh, how precious that is to me. You may be in this building today afar off, but I will tell you one thing. If you're here today and your heart's toward God, God knows about it, and it could be in this service, you're going to feel the presence of God around you, around your heart. And God will embrace you and help you to get back. I like that. It sure is good when I can put my arms around my son and my daughter. I love that. I have two sons. He mentioned Matt and Mark. And I love them. Oh, it's so good. When Matt comes up, he's bigger than I am. He's about this much taller. And when he reaches out, he's got them long arms. And he puts those arms around me. How precious. And it's good for me to put my arms around him. He ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. This prodigal son, he'd already made up his mind what he's going to say. He didn't expect to find that kind of a reception. He expected, no doubt, there would be some criticism. I told you, son, not to go. I warned you not to go. You shouldn't have gone. He's expecting, no doubt, a lecture. But there was no lecture. Just love. That's a father's heart. a father's heart. There was compassion. The Bible said he saw him, had compassion upon him. That word compassion, it means to suffer with. It means to put yourself in the place of the suffering and feeling the grief. He felt the grief and the sorrow of his son that had been in the far country. The father felt his hunger and shame. The father saw the rags, but still had compassion. What a blessing that is. Divine nearness. He fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't say, son, I want to hug you. I want to kiss you, but we got to get you cleaned up first. You ever been around the pig pen very much? Not a good smell, is it? Here he is. Could be there's some in this building right now. You sense his nearness. Nearness of the Father.
Amen.
I like that.
Yes, sir, Brother Joe. Amen.
A while ago, my wife's giving testimony back there. It seemed like the Lord got in my lap and sat down with me. Yeah, there was nearness. Yeah. It could be the Lord's come where you're at, even now. You need to get back. Divine relationship is recognized in kissing the Son. The Father's saying, Thou art my Son. So He is saying He's forgiven. Notice the prodigal did not receive full pardon and adoption and acceptance by a gradual process, but it was all recognized at once. It was instant. My wife mentioned that a moment ago. It was not a partial or conditional. He didn't say, son, you'll get all cleaned up and promise never go away again. I'll forgive you. But it was instant. He was kissed and clothed and fed without any condition. That's always the way it is. Just as I am. I remember years ago hearing a story. There was a man sitting in a train station. And he sat there with tears streaming down his cheeks. One day a pastor observed him sitting there with tears. Went over to him and he said, I noticed that you're weeping. He said, yeah, I'm weeping. He said, years ago, my son left. And he said, one day I'm coming back home. And said, you know, preacher, I've been coming to this train station and I've been looking for him. I've been waiting for him to come. And one day he will come. It could be that you've gotten away from God. He's been waiting on you to come home. Waiting on you to come home. Maybe He ordained the service today that you sense His nearness and now it's the time for you to come home. Another story I remember years ago had to do with a train. And in this train, there was a young boy, maybe 18 to 20 years old. He was sitting there on a window seat. And he was sitting there and tears were streaming out down his cheeks. And there was a friend. You may have heard this story. I don't know. A friend went over to him and said, I notice you're weeping. What's it all about? He said, well, years ago, said, I lived close to this track. And said, it's not far from here. I lived in a little house right beside this track. And said, when my dad and my mom said, we had a fuss and argument, and I left and I determined. Said, we said hard things, and I said hard things to my mom. I said hard things to my mom, and I left the house. I never intended to go back again. But years have gone by. And since then, I've gotten sort of straight with the Lord. And I wrote a letter to him and told him that I was going to be on this train. I didn't know where I'd be welcome to get off or not. Said, I told him that if I'd be welcome to get off at the next stop past the house, to tie some white pieces of cloth in the apple tree in the front yard. And when I passed by, I'd see those white strings
and those white pieces of cloth in the apple tree, and I'd know that it'd be all right for me to get off. And said, I've been thinking about it. What if there's no white pieces of cloth in the apple tree? And I just can't bear to look. I just can't bear to look. Told that lady, would you look for me? It'll be around the next bend. It'll be a little house on the right. And just see if you see me. Pieces of white cloth in the apple tree. He closed his eyes, couldn't even look. Rounded the turn to where he could see the apple tree. And that lady said, hey, look. He said, there were sheets tied in that apple tree. There were towels tied in the apple tree. And said, out from the yard, here's a little old lady waving a white rag. And said, a little old dad waving a white rag. Get off, come home. Could be your way from God today. Oh, listen, God wants you to come home. Come home. You'll never have a better day than today to come home, to get straight with God. How many years ago, a man in our church by the name of Robert Hembry. I'd baptized Robert years and years ago, but he got away from the Lord, out of fellowship with the Lord. Couldn't get him back in church. Wasn't no way to get him back in church. We visited with him, worked with him, done everything we could to do anything. But his wife always would pray on a Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, she was in the altar praying for her husband, Robert. Robert would get straight with the Lord. Well, he was building a shed out behind his house. He was up on that shed and he fell off that shed and he broke his leg. And he was bedridden for I don't know how long. Couldn't work or nothing. And Carolyn at that time she didn't have a job. There he was in a hard place. The church stepped up because of Carolyn. And I think it was $100 a week we gave him. I don't know how many weeks and I don't know how many months it was. But the church stepped up and reached out. Carolyn was faithful and Robert, he wouldn't come. But you know what he said? Brother Boggs went over. You know Brother Boggs and the church went over to see him. He told Brother Boggs, he said, Brother Boggs, if I ever get able, I'm going to come back to church. We prayed for that man, I guarantee you, 5, 6, 7 years went by. We prayed, visited, worked. Never would come. But one Sunday morning he came. He sat back here about midway here. And I was preaching along the line of the prodigal son to give the invitation that morning. I'll never forget it. And Robert Hembry stepped out that aisle, started down the aisle. The pianist was playing. The choir director was leading the invitation hymn. But all of a sudden, when he come down the aisle, the pianist quit playing. The organist quit playing. The song leader quit singing. And the whole church wept. The whole church quit singing. The whole church began to weep. Pianist quit playing. Organist quit playing. And the invitation choir director quit singing. And that man came home to the Lord. Got straight with God. He got straight with the Lord. And it wasn't too much longer. After that, I don't know how much longer. His oldest son, Mike, one Sunday morning, listen, walked out down the aisle and came over here and got saved. And I never saw a man. He got in. He couldn't get enough of it. I mean, every service, every revival, he just couldn't get enough. And then finally he surrendered to be a preacher. And he preached his first sermon that night. I remember that first sermon he preached that night. And guess what? His brother Kevin came in that night. And Kevin didn't come down the aisle right then. But I had him to come around and shake hands with Mike. And I never forget, I was standing somewhere along about right here. Here comes Kevin. He got about right there. He broke down, just began to weep and sob and out loud. And Kevin got saved that night. You talk about rejoicing. Now, Mike Hembree's finishing up his first term down in Columbia, South America as a missionary. Behold, next week on the 8th. And we're looking forward to our church family. Yeah. And guess what? Kevin became a preacher. And then he surrendered to be a missionary. And he's home on furlough now. Wales. Spent a term in Wales as a missionary. God can change lives. It could be today God's dealing with you. Isn't it good to find out what you're here for?
Yes, sir.
Fit into the divine plan, purpose.
Yes.
To know what God wants with your life. How precious that is. I don't know you people. I know David and Paul and their kids and Barry, but the rest of you, I don't know you. Could be some folk here you need to get right with God today. Whatever it'll take, I hope you'll come. Coming home on homecoming. I wonder if we could have that song leader to get a hymn today. Song, I don't know what's on your heart. If you don't have nothing, just as I am, that'll be all right. Paul is going to come and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. Are you away from the Lord and out of fellowship? Won't you come? If you're not saved, maybe He's come and put His arms around you and touched your heart. Won't you come today and let Him help you? Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Father, the best I know how, I commit this invitation into Your hands. Lord, if anything's done, You'll have to do it. It won't be me. And I pray You'll do it in such a way, as Barry's already said, You'll get all the glory. Whatever it may be, Lord, whatever You do, it's You. If there's somebody here today not saved, may they come and get saved. If there's somebody here away from the Lord, may they come and get help. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.